Today's daf is Nida Daf Chavav. Today's shir is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. We thank him so much for the continued sponsorship. We are holding in the last two words on Daf Chav Hey and Beis. We're in the middle of discussing if a woman is mapile sandal. If what comes out is a sandal, we always assume that a sandal must have been together with another vlad, and that's how it got crushed in the first place. So the Gemara is going to discuss two other cases that we did not yet mention, where we talk about the halachic impact of the birth of a sandal, but we seemingly ignore the fact that there is another vlad together with it, and we're going to question why it is that this halachic impact is not made by the other vlad. Why do we even need to talk about the sandal? Then the Mishnah in the middle of the page is going to discuss the tumah status of a shilya. If a woman is mapila shilya, do we assume that there's a vlad together with it as far as tumah is concerned? Not as far as Tumah of the Isha, but as far as Tumah of the Bias is concerned. Is there Tumas Awel? Do we assume that there was a mace in there? And the Gemara is going to give some of the physical characteristics of a Shilya that has a Vlad, that it has to be a certain size and it has to be a certain shape in order for us to assume that there's a Vlad in there. One of those physical characteristics is that it is a Tefach. So that's going to lead the Gemara to tell us that there's a list of five things, five halachos, where the Shear is a Tefach. And that leads the Gemara to say, only five? But what about? And it suggests six more things in halacha where the shear is a tefach, and why it is that those six items didn't make the list of the five things that have a shear of a tefach. And then on Amud Beis, we're going to discuss when do we attribute a shilya that comes after a vlad to the vlad that was already born, and when do we say, you know what, this might be a shilya of a different vlad, and therefore there's actually a second leida over here, and we're going to have to be choshesh for the yimei tumah and yimei tara of a second leida. And a few more issues relating to shilya come up at the end of the daf as well. So let's begin. We have the last two words on the page on Chaf Hei Amud Beis. Says the Gemara, there are other places where a sandal is considered a vlad, and the Gemara is going to explain why it is that we're ignoring the vlad that comes together with the sandal. So sandal detnan kabe becharos, the sandal that's mentioned in the context of the Mishnah in Maseches Becharos. It says in Maseches Becharos that if one is mapil, if a woman is mapil a sandal or a shulia, then the next child after it is a bechor lenachla, but is not a bechor lekohen, is going to receive Pishnayim of Yerusha, but does not require Pidyon HaBen. So the Gemara understands that that's talking about not the Vlad that goes together with the sandal, but the Vlad that's born after, from a different pregnancy, after this whole episode with the sandal is over. So the Mayilchsa, why do you have to mention that it's a Vlad after a sandal? Forget about the fact that it's after a sandal. The Vlad after this pregnancy, which involved both a sandal and another Vlad. So the next baby is going to be a Bechor L'Nachla, but not a Bechor L'Kohen. Why do we make it all tully on the sandal? So says the Gemara, L'Ba Achrav Bechor L'Nachla Bechor L'Kohen. No, when we talk about the next baby, we don't mean the next pregnancy. We mean if the Vlad comes out, the Vlad that was together with the sandal comes out after the sandal. So that Vlad is going to be a Bechor L'Nachla, but not a Bechor L'Kohen. He's not going to require a Pidyon HaBen, obviously, because it's not a Petah Rechem. The sandal was the Petah Rechem, but still will be a Bechor L'Nachla, which the Gemara assumes means that the baby can survive, that a baby that's born together with the sandal is able to survive. Otherwise, there's nothing to talk about as far as a Bechor L'Nachla is concerned. It's interesting because the Yerushalmi assumes that the baby cannot survive. So the Yerushalmi cannot go with this answer to the question of why we make it tully in the sandal, because the Yerushalmi cannot say that it's talking about the vlad that goes together with the sandal. The what was the havamin of the Gemara? Why would the Gemara assume that when we talk about a ba'acharav, it's talking about a totally different pregnancy and not just the twin that was together with the sandal, which by definition every sandal has? So three deos in Rishonim and Achronim. The Maram writes that that was exactly it. That the difference between the havamin and the maskan is whether the assumption was that the baby that comes with it could live. That the Gemara and the Havamina thought it can't be talking about the baby that's with the sandal because that baby can't live. And then the Maskana is, yes, it can, and therefore it could be that that's the baby that's the Bechor L'Nachla. Tos HaRash writes that the reason the Gemara understands that it's a different Leida and not that the sandal patters the vlad that's with it is because it doesn't say haba imo, it says haba achrav. So you would imagine that if they were twins, you would call it haba imo. The Tosas in Maseches Becharos and Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph gives a different reason. He says because the norm is that the vlad that comes together with the sandal would come before the sandal. So it's not shaykh that the sandal would patter that vlad from Bechora, Adrabah, that vlad would normally come earlier. We're going to see that that's not always the case, but that would usually be the case. Okay, says Gemara, I'll give you another example of a sandal where we talk about the halachic impact of the birth of a sandal, and we seem to ignore the vlad that comes together with the sandal. Sandal de Tanan Gabe Krisos, the Mishnah Maseches Krisos tells us that if a woman is mapil a sandal, she has to bring karbanos of yoledes. So the May Hilchasa, why do we have to mention the sandal? She's a yoledes anyway because there was another fetus together with the sandal. Shim Teled Vlad Derech Dovan, the sandal Derech Rechem, the Maisa Karbana sandal. No, the Chiddush is that the Vlad came out Derech Dovan, was a C-section, so she wouldn't need a Karbana Yoledes for that. And the sandal came out Derech Rechem, so she only needs a Karbana Yoledes on account of the sandal. Says Gemara, the Rabbi Shimon Damar, Yotzi Derech Dovan, Vlad Ma'al Yehu Ma'ikal Meimar. But what if you hold like Shitas Rabbi Shimon, that even a C-section has Karbanos of Yoledes? So then why are we talking about the Karbanos on account of the sandal? Shouldn't we automatically be talking about the karbanos anyway on account of the baby that was with the sandal? So Rabbi Yirmiyashim Teli Vlad B'Yosa Oved Chavim V'Sandal Achshin Zgeira D'Maisa Karbanos Sandal, that she timed her gayrus just such that she had the baby that came out first, then she went to the mikveh for her gayrus, and then the sandal came out. So there would be no karban yoledes for that which came out b'giyusa. The sandal came out while she was already a Jew, and that's why we're talking about bringing the karban for a sandal. It's quite a nukimta to make in the Mishnah, but we're saying that that's got to be the case where the sandal matters, even though there's obviously another baby that comes together with the sandal. So Amrura Ban Kamed Rav Papa, so they told these Terutzim for these two cases, both the case by Bechoros and the case by Krisos, they told these Terutzim to Rav Papa. So and Rav Papa asked, and they asked in front of Rav Papa, V'chi Isnu, Lani Shinuye, is it possible that these answers are correct, that by Bechor we're talking about a Vlad that comes after a sandal, but in the same Leda, and by Krisos we're talking about that she had a Geirus in between the Leda of the regular Vlad and the Leda of the sandal, Vatanya, but we have a Brisa that tells us that when you have a sandal and the Vlad that's together with it, Kshen Yotzin, Enyotzin Ela Kruchin, they come out wound together. So they you can't separate them. How can you say that the Vlad came out first, then the sandal, in the case of Becharos? How could you say that the Vlad came out Begiusa and then the sandal came out Begirusa in the case of Krisos? They come out together always. So Amar Papa Shemamina Michach Karach LeVlad LeSandal Apalge says, yeah, they do come out together, but here's how it goes. They come, they're shaped like a T, that the Vlad has his head into the stomach of the sandal, and the Vlad pushes with his head, he pushes the sandal out with his head. So Gabi Bechoros Kigon Shiyatsu Derech Rasheim, the sandal Kadim Vedafik. In the case of Bechoros, we're talking about they were going out head first, and therefore the sandal came out first, because the Vlad is pushing out with its head, where the sandal gets pushed out first. Gabi Krisus Shiyatsu Derech Margaloseim, the Vlad Kadim Vedafik. But in Krisus, we're talking about a birth where they're coming out feet first, so the Vlad is going to come out before the sandal because the sandal is on the Vlad's head. So the Gemara says, or you could say, Rav Huna bar Taklifa Mishmei Derava Amar, Afilu Teimu Mitzum Tzamin. You could even say that a Vlad and a sandal are lying side by side right next to each other, and they are wound together. And still, the Epoch Shmeitza, and we should switch around what Rav Papa said, that by Bechoros, we're talking about that they come out Derech Rasheim, and by the Karban in Krisos, we're talking about that they come out Derech Margaloseim. And we should say, no, Gabi Bechoros Yotzin Derech Margaloseim. By Bechoros, we're talking about that they're coming out feet first. And even though they're right next to each other, so you'd think they'd come out totally simultaneously. No, Vlad Dispechiusa, Sarach v'lo nafik. The Vlad that has some life to it is going to try to hang on and not going to come out so quickly. Sandal d'les b'chiyus sarach v'nafik. The sandal that doesn't have any life to it will slide right on out. So gabe krisus shiatsu derech rasheyed. But in the case in krisus, we're talking about the coming out at first. So yes, they're coming out kruchin and they're coming out at the same time. But what's the definition of leida for a fully formed fetus? And what's the definition of leida for a sandal? Vlad d'is b'chiyus v'nafik. The Vlad that has chiyus, as soon as its head is out, that's called the Leida. So the Vlad is born first. Sandal adinafik rube. But a sandal doesn't have any life to it and doesn't have the full shape of a human being, and therefore only when rove of the sandal comes out is that going to be called the Leida. So that's why the Vlad is always going to be coming before the sandal when they're coming out head first, even though they're bound together and they're side by side, because yes, they're coming out at the same measurements, but the Vlad's definition of Leida is as soon as his head comes out. The definition of Leida for a sandal is only later on when the majority comes out. The Aruch Lener points out, well, wait a second, but we're talking over here about doing a gerus, doing a tevila legerus in between one or the other. So that means mid-birth, she's doing this tevila legerus. So he's not bothered by that so much, other than the fact that it passels the tevila, because that's going to be a chatzitza. The baby by the Beis HaRechem is going to be a chatzitza by the tevila. So he points out that midrabana. So l'chora, this is the kind of chatzitza we would call a miut hamakbid. Right, she would not want for the rest of her life to have a baby hanging out, right? So half in, half out. So that would definitely be called makbid, but it's only over the minority of her body. It's not a chatzitza, it covers the majority of the body. So Gemara Maseches Sukkah tells us that a rov hamakbid is a chatzitza midaraisa, but a miut hamakbid or a rubo she'eno makbid is only a chatzitza midarabanan. So the Aruch Lener says, you have to say that since this tevila legerus would work on a daraisa level, even though midarabanan, it would be possible and we'd require a second tevila, would require another tevila, it's still a good enough ukimta to make for the Mishnah that at least on the Daraisa level it would be a valid tevila legeris. So that's why she would have, because what are we talking about over here? We're talking about bringing a korban for the Leida. So we say, yeah, korban is din Daraisa. So even though the birth of the Vlad happened Bigiyusa, the head came out, Bigiyusa, the birth of the sandal happened Bigerusa midaraisa, not Bigerusa midrabanan, so that's going to be enough to require her to bring a korban of a yoledes. Okay, new Mishnah. So the Mishnah now discusses the status of a shilya. Shilya babayis, you have the sack that the baby comes in, but it's in the house and you don't see a baby there, you just see the shilya. So habayis tameh, the whole house is tameh with tumas ohel. Losha shilya vlad, it's not that the shilya is a vlad, elisha in shilya below vlad. It's just that we know that there must have been a vlad with that shilya, and rechoshesh that even though it was nimoach, obviously it disintegrated, but maybe it disintegrated after it emerged from the mother, and therefore it's already been mitame the bayis. Rabbi Shimon Omer nimoach vlad ad shelo lo yatsa. Rabbi Shimon says no, the vlad probably disintegrated before it came out, and therefore was never mitame the bayis. So Tan Rabbanan shilya, when we're going to give a physical description of a shilya that has to have a vlad with it, meaning how developed does the shilya have to be in order to have to say that it must have had a vlad with it. So shilya, when we say shilya in the Mishnah, that we assume that it has to have vlad with it, tchilasa dom l'chut shel erev, the one end of it, tchilasa means the narrower end of it, is the width of a chut shel erev, which is a thin string, the sofa, and the other end of it widens to the point that it's dom meketormus, it's the thickness of a certain type of bean, of a round bean, v'chalula kachatzotzeres, and it's hollow like a flute, ve'in shilya p'chusa mitefach, and it has to be at least a tefach long, otherwise it doesn't have the status of a shilya, it would not be mitame the bayis, unless it was at least a tefach long. Rabbi Shimon Amliya Lomer, shilya doma l'kurkavan shel tarnagolin shadak in yotzim mena. The way many Rishonim understand, Rabbi Shimon Amliya is not disagreeing, he's giving a little more description, that when a shilya is mitame, it's similar to the kurkavan of a tarnagol, where the intestines come out of the kurkavan. Kavan. But before it's that large, before it gets to that size, it's not going to be Metame. So once we mentioned that part of the definition of a Shilya that has a Vlad with it is that it has to be a Tefach, so that's going to lead the Gemara into the following. Tanya, Raboshia, Zi'ira, Demin, Chavaraya, Chamisha, Shi'ur, and Tefach, Ve'eluain, Shilya, Shofar, Shidra, Dofen, Sukkah, Ve'ezov. That there are five halachos in Shas that relate to a Tefach, that the halach is that they have to be a Tefach, and the first of them is Shilya, but there are these other four as well. So we're going to go through one by one what the meaning of each of these halachos is. So Shilya, Hada Amaran. Shilya is the one that is probably the only one on the list that we would not have immediately recognized, but that's the one we just said. That in order for a Shilya to be considered to have definitely had a Vlad associated with it, it has to have been at least the size of a Tefach. Shofar, where do we find Shofar has to be a Tefach? Titanya Kami Yehe Shir Shofar. What is the Shir of a Shofar? Perush Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Kadeshiach Zenu Biyado V'yira'a Lekan Ulekan Tefach. That it has to be large enough that you hold it in your hand and you're still able to see a part of the shofar on either side of where you're holding it, and that therefore is a tefach, because a tefach is the width of four thumbs. When you hold the shofar, so it's the width of your four slightly skinnier fingers, and therefore if you're holding it that way and it's a tefach, it's actually the shofar is the width of four thumbs, there's going to be a little bit that sticks out on each side. So as long as you could see it a little bit on each side, we assume that that is a shear of a tefach. The reason that you need that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said it that way, and he didn't say tefach, Tosa Rosh points out, is to give us, to explain to us why that's the shear is a tefach. If he just would have said tefach, said okay, shear is a tefach, but I would not have known why the shear is a tefach. So he says k'tei she'irenu that this way and the other way, and now I understand why. Because if you were to be able to cover the entire shofar with your hand, it would look like you're blowing out of your hand. It wouldn't look like that you have anything in your hand at all. In order to make it very clear that you're blowing a shofar, that's why it has to be a tefach. The Ritva in Maseches Rosh Hashanah says that a chaps a nafkamina, that the reason really matters over here, because the shear is not really a tefach. The shear is k'tei she'ira a little bit on either side. What if you have a person who has very, very large hands? So the shofar is a tefach, but he still manages to hold the whole thing. You ever like shake a hand with like a giant guy and like it feels like it swallows your whole arm, right? So this guy has like these huge hands, so the whole shofar is like held within his hand. So says the Ritva, it wouldn't be kosher that you needed to. The shear is not really a tefach. The shear on average is a tefach, but it really needs to be large enough that it's able to be seen on either side of the shofar. There is a shita of Rabbeinu Gershom that says no. Look at carefully what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that k'deshiach zenu biyado v'yira'a lekan ulekan tefach. It's not v'yira'a lekan ulekan kama. How much is that in total tefach? It's v'yira'a lekan ulekan tefach. That you need a tefach on either side of the shofar, which means that the real shear of the shofar is three tefachim. That's what it's. That's the proper shear, says Rabbeinu Gershom. So that's a das yachid in Rishonim. The Achronim discuss. Let's say you hold like Rabbeinu Gershom and you want to be machmir for shitas Rabbeinu Gershom. Do you have to hold it in such a way where it's a tefach on each side, or is it just saying the shear of a shofar is three tefachim? But and then it doesn't matter how you hold it. Or is it saying, meaning when we said tefach, so the Ritva said no, you mamish have to hold it in a way where you see it on each side, otherwise it looks like you're not blowing shofar, it looks like you're blowing it out of your hand. So that's the that's a discussion in the Achronim, whether you have to hold it in such a way when it comes to being yotzei the shita of Rabbeinu Gershom. The Temanim have a practice of using very, very long shofaros. They use those long windy shofaros. So they explain why it is that they use it. So some suggest that they did it in order to be yotzei shitas Rabbeinu Gershom, that they know that they always have these way more than a tefach, way more than three tefachim, and that's what they use. Others suggest they must have not had like rams, and that's why, because really you're supposed to, it's supposed to be a zecher la'ayelo shel Yitzchak. We just read, coincidence, we just read about Akedas Yitzchak, that it's supposed to be a zecher to the Isle of Yitzchak. So why wouldn't they use the best thing to use? It must be that in Teman they didn't have too many rams available, or maybe they didn't want to make proper shofros out of the rams. You know, they point out Temanim always have minhagim based on the Shitas HaRambam, but every once in a while they have a they always follow the halacha Shitas HaRambam, but every once in a while they have a minhag that dates back very, very far, and it's not al pi Shitas HaRambam, but that's their minhag, that's what they do. So this is one such example where the Rambam doesn't say anything like this, that they should use these long windy shofros, but that's the minhag of the Temanim. Now the Rush says that the reason it has to be near Mikan Mikan, like we said before, is that you should, it shouldn't look like you're blowing it out of your hand. That sounds like a reason midrabanan, meaning that sounds like the whole shir over here is only going to be a shir midrabanan. And in fact, the Berlach in Tavkuf Peivav is medayik that way from the Rush, that it must be that we're talking about a shir midrabanan. That's what the Levush says as well, that minatora shofar koldu was kosher, the shofar stama merachmana. And when Chazal give the shir of dalid gedolim of tefach, that's because of this concern, what it's going to look like. Whenever it's about something what's going to look like, that's a din midrabanan. However, Tosos Masechta Sukkah, quoted by the Bir Halacha, says that no, it's a shir midaraisa. And the raya is our sugya. The raya is over here in Maseches Nida, because the Gemara, in, as we're going to see in the Hemshich of the sugya, is going to start asking, are there really only five things that have a shir of tefach? What about this? What about that? What about that? And we're going to start listing off things. And the answer we're ultimately going to give is, no, no, there are five things that are midaraisa, that aren't mefurash b'kra, but are midaraisa. Some of the items that we're going to be suggesting are either mefurash b'kra, where you don't need to list it, or they're only midrabanan, and therefore it doesn't make the list. So you see meferish in our sugya that this must be a din midaraisa. Difficult to understand how you could say that it's a din midrabanan, it's meferish in our gemara that it's a din daraisa. This is a remarkable thing, because you could learn all of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, and you won't get this. Meaning that whole raya of what the shir is, whether it's a shir daraisa or shir drabanan, comes up in Maseches Nida. Divrei Torah, aniyim b'makom echer, ashirim b'makom echer. You have to see the entirety of Shas in order to learn Hilchas Shofar. You would think you're covered when you learn Maseches Rosh Hashanah. No, you got to learn the third parak of Nida also. So Shidra Mahi, what is the Shir Tefach of a Shidra? So what is that talking about? Amar Parnacham Rabbi Yochanan, Shidra Shalulav Tzorek Sheyotzi Min Ahadas Tefach. The Shidra of a Lulav has to extend one Tefach above the Hadas, meaning the Hadasim are supposed to be three Tefachim. So the Lulav is supposed to have one of the way the Lashon of the of the Gemara Maseches Sukkah, the Mishnah Maseches Sukkah, is that one extra tefach kedei l'nanea bo. That in addition to the original three tefachim, you need an extra tefach kedei l'nanea bo, which is a total of four tefachim. There is a Chuvas Harid that was asked, if someone only has a lulav that's three tefachim, is he able to say a bracha on it? Is he yotze yischiv with it? So he says, look, you're allowed to say a bracha on it, and his raya is that a lulav ayavish is possible according to the Chamim Maseches Sukkah, and nevertheless, the Gemara over there says, you're mevarich alav b'shas adchak. So he says, any time you have a psul that the Torah passes because of a lack of hidur, so b'shas adchak, b'shas ones, you're allowed to use it, you're allowed to make a bracha, which is mavur from the Tosfos Rid, that it's a psul d'oraisa to not have four tefachim, and that's mavur in our Gemara as well. It's got to be a psul d'oraisa, because everything in our Gemara is a psul d'oraisa, and nevertheless, you're still allowed to make a bracha. The reason that's interesting is that there's a comment of the Birkei Yosef where he just quotes the that Chuvas Harid in shorthand. The Birkei Yosef in Siman Tov Reish Mem Tes just says Yochel Levarich Alulav Shein Bo Elashlosh Tefachim Heicha Delo Yesh Acher. He says you're allowed to say a bracha on a lulav that it's only three tefachim if you don't got anything else, if that's all you got. So the Binyan Tzion in his Chuvas in Siman Lamed Gimel says, why would you be allowed to say a bracha? Meaning he didn't have the original Chuvas Rid. So he starts guessing, why would you be allowed to say a bracha if it's only three tefachim, if it doesn't have the full four tefachim. It must be that that fourth tefach is only a din midrabanan, and you're allowed to say bracha because you're still being yotzei the din daraisa. Because after all, what's the reason of the fourth tefach? It's kedelu naneabo. The whole nanum are only a din midrabanan, so it must be the shear of the fourth tefach is only midrabanan, and that's why you're allowed to say a bracha. So the Binyan Tzion asks on himself, aye, but our Gemara, you can learn all Masechta Sukkah again, you won't find it. But in Nida, it says that all of these dinim are dinim daraisa. So he says, no. The shear of three tefachim is a din daraisa, so the fourth tefach doesn't have to be daraisa. He comes up with all this dachuk answers. But if you look in the actual, now we're zocha to have the actual tshuvas rid that the Birkei Yosef was quoting, you see that that's not at all what he meant. He said very clearly that it's a din daraisa, and afal pikein, you're allowed to say a bracha on it, even though it's not, if it lacks that fourth tefach, which is a din daraisa. Because any din daraisa of a shear of a lulav, or of any din daraisa related to Lulav that relates to Hadar, if you don't have it, you could still recite a bracha for it. So that's the din of Lulav. And then another example of something that's a tefach, Dofen Sukkah, Ditanya, Shtayim Kilchasan, Shlishis, Afilu Tefach, that the minimum amount of walls that you need for a Sukkah is two that are perpendicular to each other, and then a third wall that's even one tefach. Discussions in the Gemara, Masechta Sukkah, how that third wall exactly has to be positioned. It's not exactly the way we picture it, where it's a continuous, you know, with the other walls, but still, it's a tefach, so that's another din of a shir of a tefach. And Ezov, also, the Tanya Reb Chiya, Ezov tefach. Whenever we require an Ezov, this shir is a tefach. When do we taka require an Ezov? So for three things. Ezov is a type of branch that has stalks, and the stalks have to be a tefach, so it's we require it for three things. For the Torah process of a mitzora, the Torah says that a mitzora, on the day that he goes through the Torah process from a tzoras, the Kohen takes him out, michutz l'machana, and he brings the klicheres chadash, and he puts a revius of mayim chayim into it, and they bring two tzipori dror, two wild birds, and they shecht one of them over the mayim in the klicheres, and then they take the stalk of an eitz eres, and a givul shal ezov, and shni to la'as, and they wrap the three of them together with the strand of the shni to la'as, and they dip the end of it into this blood water mixture, and their mazah sheva pamim ala mitzora. So over there you need an ezov. That ezov has to be a tefach. Also by Sreifas Paraduma, Paraduma the Kohen would shech the Paraduma on Harazesim, and he would sprinkle from the blood seven times, connected the base Kodesh HaKadoshim, and after they would sprinkle from the blood, they would burn it, and then the Kohen would take the Eitz Erez and Ezov and Shnei Talas and wrap them together, and put that into the beten of the Parah that was burnt after it was totally singed by the fire, and he would use that for the sprinkling of the Parah Aduma. And the third case where you have it is that's as far as the Sreifas Parah Aduma. Then the third case you have it is Hazaas Tameh Meis, when they actually sprinkle the mixture of the Mayim with the ashes of the Parah Aduma on the guy who's Tameh Meis. So those are the three cases where you have an Ezov, and in each of those cases the Ezov has to be a Tefach. The reason I mentioned that it's in all three cases is because it's somewhat curious. Tos Yom Tov in Maseches Parah points out that the Rambam mentions the Shir Tefach by the Ezov of the Sreifas Parah and the Taras HaMetzora, but he doesn't mention the Shir Tefach by the Ezov of the Taras Tameh Meis, of the Tara process of Tameh Meis. Unclear to us why that's the case, why the Rambam left it out in that context. Okay, but this all counts as one. All these three cases of Ezov count as one more halacha that involves a tefach. So when we tally it all together, it turns out that there are three teachings of Tanaim and two of Amoraim that relate to a shir of a tefach. Says Mar Tarti Chadihi. No, look back. There's only one that was from Amoraim. That's what we said about the Shedra of the Lulav in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Everything else was a Braisa. So Amrabai Ema Omar Rabbi Chia is of tefach. Instead of having Tani Rabbi Chia about the Ezov, it should say Omar Rabbi Chia. Tani would mean he's teaching over a Mishnah or a Braisa. Omar is that he's just saying a Meimra of Amoraim. And that's what, that way it comes out, that of these five halachos, Three of them are from Tanaim, and two of them are from Amoraim. So says the Gemara, there are only five halachos where there's a shir of a tefach. Vesuleka, there aren't others. Vayika, so we're going to have six more. But here's number one. We have the following. The Mishnah Masechas Aldos talks about the tumah of Oel HaMeis, that the minimum size of an Oel is tefach al tefach al rum tefach meruba, a cube of a tefach, maybe a satuma, and that can bring tumah from a tame item to anything else that's under the same Oel as it, and v'chotzitz b'fnei ha-tumah. And if there's tumah on top of it, on top of that Oel, so the opening of a tefach will stop the tumah from going on top of it. That's what those poskim who say that a kohen is allowed to go to Maris HaMachpelah, which is also a daf yomi coincidence. No gift for this week. A lot of people, Shabbat Chevron, we go into Maris. Those poskim who say that a kohen is allowed to go are assuming that underneath the, and I mean, Matzias is definitely true, but there may be other concerns that underneath where you stand, there's a large cavity underneath there, and the mesim have to be under that large cavity, so the tumah will go into that cavity and will stop at the floor of where you're standing on. Meaning, so the tumah is not going to be what you're standing on is chotzeitz b'fnei ha-tumah. The concerns are that but there may be passageways that are opened up by kever yitzchak that are opened up sometimes, and you don't know when they're opened up. Plus, we're not really sure what the metzius is, where the bodies are exactly. So not all poskim are so thrilled about it, but it's a discussion amongst contemporary poskim whether kohanim are allowed to go. Some do, some don't. Okay, so it's chotzeitz b'fnei ha-tumah if it's a tefach. So why don't we list that as one of the halachos of a tefach? Tefach kamrinan, tefach al tefach lo kamrinan. Because we're just talking about one-dimensional tefachim. By an oel, it's got to be a tefach al tefach. We're not talking about that. Vayikas, it says, well, I'll give you another example. Evan ayotzi min atanur tefach. The halacha is that if you have a tanur, that you have a rock that sticks out, that protrudes from the oven, and that aids in the moving of the oven, so you're going to leave it there because it's like a handle for the oven, that also, and therefore once it's a handle for the oven, and you plant to leave it there, when the oven becomes tame, the handle becomes tame, when the handle becomes tame, the oven becomes tame, because it's part of the oven, so that's only if it's a sheer tefach. If it's larger than a tefach, you wouldn't leave it there, it just gets in the way, so you're going to chop it off, and therefore it's not considered part of the oven. Uminakira shalosh etzbaos. If it was a smaller, if it was a stove, not an oven, which is a little bit of a smaller kli, then the sheer would be three etzbaos. So chibur, that's considered a connected, it's considered a handle to the kira or to the tanur. So why don't we list that shear of tefach? Now, kikam rinecha debatsim mitefach lochazi. Avlach kol shkein debatsim mitefach ya tanuru. No, we're talking about minimum shearim of a tefach. By the tanur, it's maximum a tefach. Once it's more than a tefach, then it's no longer considered part of the tanur. So that's why that one doesn't get counted. Okay, says Gemara, I'll give you a third example. Veika tanure banos. What about the tanurim of young girls that they used to play with, where the shear is tefach, the shear of Kabbalah's tumah is a tefach? The tanya, tanur tchilas arba'a, a tanur, in order for it to be mekabel tumah, a real tanur, has to be four tefachim, v'shiar of arba'a, and even if it breaks, it has to have four tefachim of it still left intact in order to be mekabel tumah. Divrei Meir, v'chamam b'med v'armumam b'gadol. That's only by a large tanur. Aval b'katan, but you have a smaller tanur that's made for kids to play with, tchilas akolshu, even if it's very, very small. Misha tikmar malachto, as soon as you're done building it, it's mekabel tumah. V'shiar of berubo, and if it breaks, as long as the majority of it is intact. V'kamel kolshu, and how big is a kolshu that's mekabel tumah? Am Rabbi Yanai, tefach. Shekenos and Tanur Ribanos tefach, that it's a tefach, because that's the style, that's what they would make for the little girls to play with. So why don't we list that shear of a tefach? The plukta lo kamari, because that was subject to a machlokas, and tanur tefach is mekabel tumah only according to the shita of the chachamim, but according to our mayor, tanur is not mekabel tumah unless it's four tefachim. So we're not getting involved in that which is a machlokas. Tosfos points out we're not. What about shtayim kilchas and shlishis afilu tefach by the sukkah? Right, there's another daya in Masechta Sukkah that says shlosha kilchasan revias afilu tefach. So that's also a machlokas. So yeah, but it's not a machlokas about the size of the final wall. It's a machlokas about how many other walls you need. But that the fact that the size of that final wall is a tefach, that's not a machlokas. Tosfos points out, and that's why that one remains on the list.
So says Mar Hashu Das Zalachi. Once you can give me this answer that we're not getting involved in machlokas, so Hanami Plugtihi. The one about Evan Ayotzi Minatana is also machlokas. Tiktani Seifa Am Rebuda Lo Am Rutefach Elamin Atana Vlakosel. Because the Seifa says that when we say that a tefach is the shear, that's only between if the stone that protrudes is between the tanur and the wall that it's up against. That's where we say, you know what, if it's more than a tefach, you're going to want to chop that off, because you want the tanur to be right up against the wall so it doesn't stick out too much into your living space. But if it's if the stone that's sticking out is not between the tanur and the wall, but it's rather sticking out into your living space, then you won't mind even if it's more than a tefach. It's just one little rock that's sticking out, so then you would leave it there even if it's more than a tefach. Okay, says Marble, I'll give you another example. V'ika miskeres tefach. We find by the shulchan in the Mishkan that there was a miskeres on it that was a tefach. Yeah, but the ksivan lo kamari, that's mefurish in the Torah. We're not counting things that are mefurish in the Torah. We're only listing things that we need some explanation on. V'ika kaporis. What about the kaporis that covered the aron? Tefach. That's also a tefach. B'kachim lo kamari. We're not talking about things that are kodesh. We're talking about things outside of kodesh. Now that obviously would work for the miskeres of the shulchan as well, but the Ritva points out that's the derech of the Gemara that calls man that we don't need to give a more complicated answer, we give a simpler answer, and then once we're forced into it, we'll give the more complicated answer that's more all-inclusive. Va'ika, but I'll give you another example. What about the beam that they put over the entranceway of a mavoi that allows you to carry in a mavoi on Shabbos? Daya l'kara shiruchav tefach. The beam has to be one tefach, the thickness of one tefach. Midrabanan lo kamari. That's only a din midrabanan. We're not talking about dinim midrabanan. That's the line, right? Meaning we said before that's the raya, that the fourth tefach of the lulav has to be a din daraisa, that the tefach of a shofar has to be a daraisa, because the Gemara says we're not talking about things that are only midrabanan. We're only talking about things that are shiurim midaraisa. El b'ksivan v'lo mefarshi shiuraiu. We also said we're not talking about that which is not mefurash b'kra. So we're not. So it's only that which is in between, not that which is explicit in the pasuk, nor that which is only midrabanan. It's got to be a din daraisa, but not mefurash b'kra in order to make our list. Okay, so now we go back to the exciting topic of Shilya. So Yosef Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Matta Kamei Rav Kahana V'Yosef Kamar Amar Rav Yidom Rav. So he said over the name of Rav Yidom Rav, Kol Shlosh Yom Marishonim Tolen Es Shilya B'Vlad. If within 3 days of a birth a Shilya comes out, you assume that Shilya was associated with the Vlad that's already been born. It's not a new Vlad, and the Yimei Tum and Yimei Tara are based on the Vlad that's already been born. But Mikan Ve'elach, if the Shilya emerges more than 3 days later, Choshen L'Vlad Acher, then you have to be Choshen said there's a new Vlad associated with that Shilya, and you need Yimei Tum Shon Lekeva from the time that Shilya comes out. Amar Lei, Miyam Rav Hachi, does Rav really say such a thing? Didn't Rav himself teach us that a Vlad does not stick around after its twin was already born? So why should you have to be choshesh that there's another Vlad with the Shilya? Can't you assume that the Shilya is part of the Vlad that was already born, even if it's days later? So Ishtik. So Rav Yitzchak didn't know how to answer that stira in Rav. So Amar Lei, so Rav Kana said, maybe the answer is as follows. Dilma kan b'nefel, kan b'ben kayama. When Rav says that 3 days later we're choshen for a Vlad Acher, that's when the first one was a Nefel. So then the second one might stick around for a while later inside. But when it was a Ben Kayama, then we assume that the other one would come out very soon after. And after 3 days, you're going to have to say that the Shilya belonged to that Ben Kayama. So I'm like, Atam l'shmaitzei to Rav. You think you're the one that's answering up for Rav? Beferish am Rav Hachi. Rav said that, meaning you're right, but you, we don't need you. Rav said it explicitly, that he pila Nefel. If there's a Nefel followed by a Shilya, so for the first 3 days we associate the Shilya with the Vlad, but afterwards we assume that it's a new Vlad that would stick around inside for more than 3 days after a Nefel. But if an actual baby came out and then a Shilya came out later, it can't be another baby, because another baby would not come out days later when a real baby was born. So then you assume that the Shilya is associated with the Vlad that was already born, and of course the Nafkamina is for the Yimei Tumah and Yimei Tahara of the Isha, that she assumes that she only had one baby. Shmuel Talmidei de Rav, Rav Yehuda Avayasi. Shmuel and Rav's Talmidim and Rav Yehuda were sitting. Chalaf Azul Rav Yosef Breid Rav Menashe Midvil Lapayu. And Rav Yosef Breid Rav Menashe was hopping around in the area, he was moving around in the area. Boli Va'asi, he was like running toward them. So Amar, as he he was coming toward them. So Shmuel commented, "Asilan gavra deraminale begila dechitza." Someone is coming that you can reject anything he says with like a piece of straw. Meaning it's very easy to ask kashas on him, and he'll be totally flustered, and he won't know how to answer anything. He won't know how to respond to anything that you say. That seems a little bit harsh. So the marshal says, because they saw he was acting like a balgaiva. Here these chashvat amichamis running and jumping, and so they thought that he was acting b'derechayva, so they sort of cut him down to size. So Adahachi Asa, Rav Yosef came, so Amalei Shmuel, Mayam Rav b'shilya. So Shmuel said, "Nu, what did Rav say about shilya? Any good halachas about shilya?" So Amalei, Hachi Amar Rav, ain't telling the shilya el b'davar shel kayama, that you only say that the shilya is associated with the vlad if the nefel, or with the nefel if it's the nefel is from a min that could be a ben kayama, meaning if it's kalu chadashav, it would have been a ben kayama. But if it's a guf atum, if it has only one leg in the middle of its body, all the cases we had, it's a chaya, it's an oaf, then it's where it would not be royally skayim, and then a shilya comes out even within 3 days, you assume that the shilya is another vlad. So Shailinu Shmuel, Lekol Talmidid Rav, Shmuel did some investigation. He asked all the Talmidim of Rav if they heard such a, Rav ever say such a statement. Vamrulei, Hachi, and they said, yeah, Rav said exactly, Rav Yosef is reporting accurately. Rav said exactly that. So Adachazil Rav Yehuda Bishos. So Shmuel looked at Rav Yehuda angrily, because you're the one that taught, that's saying over Rav's halachos, and you left out this important detail, that if the shilya comes out together with something that could not be a ben kayama, then we always are going to assume that the shilya is a separate vlad and is going to have its own status of tumah. Okay, Beis Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the Bible of Rav Yosef and Shaul Meir Rabbi.